This is Average Joe Rock and Roll. I am Michael J. Rock, and I am joined today by the ever prolific and super talented Jason McMaster. Hey, Jason, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I dug into your history a little bit, and to find out that your history goes on forever. And
Yes, it does. I'm not quite a vampire, but I have lived many lives.
yeah, you certainly keep busy for sure. Just the amount of bands listed on your website, and then on top of that, side projects that I'd researched on the internet and stuff like that is just I don't think you sleep.
Well, I'm not very good at that sleep
No.
thing.
Yeah.
I like to sleep, but my brain won't turn off. I think they have medication for that, which I seem to be out of. That my doctor hasn't diagnosed me, I guess, yet.
Yeah.
No, the list is large, but you could any I. The word popular comes to mind. I don't know if I fit that or not. Maybe my attempt at humble. There's a lot of musicians that a lot of artists that have this like list of shit they've done or things that are coming up that is as long as yours and my arm put together. And mine is like a finger compared to theirs, the list. But I mean, I guess there's a lot of things on there, and a lot of things on my list, body of work, as they say, is, not in print anymore or defunct or only happens a handful of times a year. Not to let the air out of what it looks like, but it's true,
Well, I was quite impressed by the body of work and everything that you've done, and I wondered personally, looking through everything that you have done, if you ever look back at that, and it becomes surreal because there's just a lot.
Yeah, I guess if I wanted to stand and be proud of just the salad of things that I've done, I guess if I was going to stack up vinyl or CDs, it would probably be about 30 records or more that I've been on or been a part of or wrote the songs, right? And that's a lot, but when is an artist or a writer just okay, I've written enough songs, 'cause it doesn't work like that.
Right,
It's kind of like it's nonstop. You hear something or you think of something or you go down a rabbit hole and you start writing stuff down. Next thing you know, it's going to turn into a project or a name or a song or it's going to turn into something, because if that's what you do, it's what you do. I don't care how young or old or how long you've done it or what your experience is that's just what you do. It's like a painter, will stop the car. I got to get out of the car and paint, sketch something for my new opus, right? I gotta go this way right now. So yeah, that's kind of how it is. And then I don't want to say a lot of it, but seems to happen to me as the phone rings. Hey, I got this thing. I would like you to be part of it. And I can say yes or I can say no. I just like to say yes.
I actually
Especially if I'm a fan of it or I hear it and I go, oh shit, I have to do that, right?
Sure. Yeah, I saw an interview with you recently where you were talking about being asked to audition for Pantera. And then I had read the same thing about Skid Row. And then obviously you filled in a little bit with Armored Saint. So I mean that's impressive. That those are big bands.
Yeah, to be clear, being asked to audition for an up and coming band, I guess is no different to me than being asked to audition for a successful band. Maybe it should be because, you know, and this is where it gets kind of sticky, is if well, am I thinking about accepting this invitation to just audition? I don't have the gig yet, right? Can I see myself doing this for a long time? Am I just doing this for the paycheck? You know what I mean? At the time, the Pantera thing was, and I actually got to talk to Daryl about this years after the fact. I was like, why me? What was that? He goes, and this was yet to be correct and clear. This was pre-Philip. This was right after Terry Glaze. This is when they were still kind of what people just, you know, go get lazy and say they were a rock band. I don't really like to call them a glam band, but they were a bit glammy. They were like Def Leppard or something, you know. And this would have been probably 86, 1986 or early 86. You know, there was no Cowboys from Hell. There was no thrash power groove. You know, there was no 5 minutes alone. You know, there was no domination. You know, there was none of that was even thought of yet. And I turned down because I was in Watchtower, and shit, Watchtower is closer to a thrash band than Pantera ever was. And it's interesting that I joined the Toys and they go thrash. You know what I mean? I kind of passed them on the way in, you know. It was interesting, but yeah, I their dad, Mr. Abbott, I call him, is the one who called me and invited me, and I turned him down. I feel like I was polite, and then a week later, Vinny called me. Like, what the call was like, are you sure? We really want you to come, you know, check this out. And that was that. And I respectfully declined the offer to audition. And again, to be clear, this is before the Pantera that most people know.
Sure.
This was early. This was in the 80s, and people were like, Pantera in the 80s, weren't they like a glam? Weren't they like Poison or something? I go, closer to that, yeah. And I was in this progressive weirdo thrash band. So see how that. Anyway,
Sure.
I asked Daryl about it years later, and he said, "Man, you had a big buzz. All my friends gave me your number, and that's all that was. You had a big buzz, and you know, it sounded like you could hit any note we needed you to hit, and it was all just because you had a trend." And I was like, "Oh, well, that makes business savvy sense. Yeah, that you would were looking just for names locally that you could reach out and try to fill the hole. I get
Sure.
it." Yeah, and I walked away feeling better about, you know, it wasn't like I was fishing for a compliment. It was like, wow, it's just interesting, you know, that you would end up with Philip, because I'm not Philip. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So,
definitely different vocal styles for sure.
yeah, and Philip used to sing a lot like I was singing back then. We ha did have some similarities, but what Philip were ended up ta where Philip ended up taking Pantera, is light years ahead of where they were stylistically as far as heavy metal goes. And I'm generalizing, as everybody knows now. So, something similar happened. I don't really like to talk a whole lot about it, but since we're on the subject, we can put a lot of it to bed. This similar thing happened to Skid Row. When Sebastian split, Snake called me, and it was the same story. He called me twice. He called me, and then I respectfully declined. And a week later, he called me again. Are you sure? And I was like, as great as songwriters as they are, and how well I really feel like I could have, would have gotten along with that camp. I don't know if I wanted to sing "I Remember You."
Sure.
And also during these courting, just for the again, these are this is important. These are invitations to audition. I probably wouldn't have gotten the gig. That's just me being a realist. And even if I would have, yay me, who knows, man, the course of history may not be the same. And that I like how things worked out actually.
Yeah.
For both of those, oh my God, it's unbelievable. So the w what the Sebastian splits, and then I've got, to fill those shoes. It's like, I think vocally I would have been okay, but I still would have been hit with, they just need to get Sebastian. The whole I would have been just standing in pools of tomato juice. I would have
Yeah.
been hit. I would
It's
have been
been how
hit
many
with.
years and people are still saying that?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
would have been hit with bananas just like everybody else. But they've had some amazing singers,
Yep, for
even
sure.
if they're just filling in. They've got the baddest motherfuckers they can find up there. I'm impressed. And they've reinvented themselves, and they've done extremely well having a, okay, hey, next, you're up. Having that singer switch, change shoes every once in a while, they've still done extremely well. It's fucking impressive. But so I turned that down too. And what people don't realize, or they just simply forget, that I want to sing my own fucking songs.
Yeah, that's commendable and
I
respectful.
write songs
Sure.
too,
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I would have written some cool songs with all those guys that are inviting me to audition, and if I would have if it would have been a good fit, hopefully I would have jumped into a writing room with those guys and written some cool, fun shit. But there were reasons at the time. I still think those reasons are valid, that I didn't even accept an an invitation to audition. So, to be clear, that chapter one over. What else you got, Michael?
So, at what point in your career did you figure out that you could make a go of this and that this was going to be something you could do for a living?
Kind of hit me like a truck, because I wasn't looking to. This sounds really smarmy. I wasn't looking to get a record deal or be in the spotlight, or I mean, other than what happens when you throw yourself on a stage. But I wasn't looking for it to actually turn out to be monetary gain. It was more like I was super young. My first concert, I was 12. It was UFO and Rush. Max Webster, UFO and
Oh,
Rush.
wow. Wow.
1977 in Corpus Christi, Texas, where I grew up. And I was 12, and I think I cried. It was like having this just emotional experience, and I just thought that they were magicians, and I mean, they were just grown men banging on wood and wire, and we all know that. But to create noise and have it be transcendent, where a room full of people can go, whoa, I mean,
Yeah,
it's
no
kind of a
doubt.
trip, right? It's kind of
No, yeah.
this. So that's why and my young impressionable mind was just, I was fucked from somebody. This is actually a topic on one of my socials. One of my younger brothers, who was at the same show I was when I was 12, he posted the poster from the actual show that we were at, Corpus Christi Coliseum. I don't remember the exact date, October of 77. And I commented, and I was like, this was life-changing, literally. And then one of our mutual friends that we didn't know back then, but we knew, he's not a childhood friend, but we met when we moved up to Austin, Texas. He goes, under my plug. He was like, "You didn't stand a chance, poor kid." And he was right. I walked away from that like I need to learn how to do that. And I think it was that year that my older brother Mitch and my mom went in on a cheap pawn shop bass guitar. And eventually I just started messing with it. And, you know, because you get the bass guitar and then you don't have an amp. And anyone who's tried to play a bass guitar without an amp, you can't hear shit. It just sounds like clickety click, slap, pop. You know,
Sure.
it's nothing. And I didn't even know how to tune it. So then I got an amp and I started to make noise. And by age 15, so just like a year or so later, really, year and a half later, I was in my first band. And I was just happy that me and the fellows could start us a popular song, whatever, AC/DC or Priest or Rush or whatever it was we were fucking with. We could start the song and end the song together. Didn't matter. We weren't trying to be, in my eyes, I wasn't trying to be the best band or good at it, or I was just just excited
Sure.
to be playing a song, any song. Could have been Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I would have been happy to be doing anything.
So when you
So,
started actually writing, who were your biggest influences at that time into your style of writing?
wow, that's a great question. Well, the first band I was in that was actually writing original material was Watchtower. And that would have been in 1982. I met these guys and was in their rehearsal before I was even in the band. I'm in their rehearsal. Their singer didn't show up. This would have been in May 1982. And these guys are just my age, you know, and they're playing their original material without vocals, you know, because their singer didn't show up. Which is ironically, I ended up becoming their singer like a week or two later because they because of the story. I'll just tell the story. They were playing these heavy metal songs, for lack of a better term, because I can describe it to you as these technical thrash numbers. Speed metal, but sound like they were written by Mahavishnu Orchestra and Geddy Lee from Rush or something, like jazz metal. You know, the riffs
Interesting.
were
Yeah.
like, what the fuck is that? That's crazy, you know. And they're 17, 18 years old. I was like, I don't know if I can say I've heard anything like that. And they wrote their own lyric. They wrote lyrics too, and my mind was blown. And at it was that moment that I sort of, basically, the guys in Watchtower taught me, without sitting me down, going, "This is how you do this." You know, it was just me being in that group for the next 7 or 8 years. This is all pre-Dangerous Toys, right? That showed me how to sort of shuck and jive and find the downbeat and the upbeat and play, you know, work phrasing and placement of, you know, when should I sing high, when should I sing low, because I didn't know scale. I'm untrained. I'm still untrained. I know, of course, more about it now than I ever have, because I've been teaching. I don't like the title, but a music instructor or an untrained music instructor for going on 20 years now. Next year it'll be 20 years. And so yeah, learning scale and how, you know, chords work together, and you know, thirds and fifths and sevenths, and you know, the major scale, the minor scale, and how to sing melodies within chords at 100 miles an hour with a million notes going on underneath. How do you find a way to write a melody over something, over a riff that sounds like the guitar is being thrown down the stairs at 100 miles an hour? Okay, write a vocal melody for that. Go. See my point? So that was interesting. And I learned a lot. And so when I started working with the toys at the end of that sort of, things started to change in Watchtower towards the end of my tenure there. As much as I love being in Watchtower, and we've had a bit of a resurgence lately, if you hadn't noticed. I'm back with those guys. And I came back and we did some reunions, and then I left and came back. So it's just been this sort of like family of sprockets that come together, every so often and sort of in and out. We can't get rid of each other, and I love that. It's a small club. Anyway, so when I started working with other bands, and Dangerous Toys being one of them, I had to like relearn a little bit. I mean, I relearn how to sing rock and roll. You know what I mean? Like bluesy, like
Blues based, yep, absolutely, yeah.
sing one note, kind of, groove a little bit, because in Watchtower there was very little of that, because it's just so music that sounds like the drummer's playing along with a popcorn popper. Popcorn's ready, with riffs over it, which is technical thrash metal, that doesn't even, there's not even really a proper term for it. And Watchtower arguably is a pioneer of that, and we are proud of that. We, as whoever has ever been in Watchtower, we are proud of that, that our some of our people we completely respect. Chuck Schuldiner from Death said it. Mike Portnoy, of course, everyone knows who that is. Gene Hoglan. These are people that are like these set high standards in their own musical endeavors, and they respect Watchtower, these punk ass kids from the middle of Texas who just wrote this crazy, fucked up music. So they said it, we didn't. So that's why I say arguable. We didn't make the bumper sticker, they did. So yeah, that's kind of. And then the whole time that I'm answering your question about when did all of this start, it would probably end up being the answer that when someone wanted to sign Dangerous Toys, which that kind of style of boogie rock, or I hate the term hair metal, was popular and very trendy, somebody, after I was, moonlighting, I'm in like two or three bands at one time, somebody just wanted to give a bunch of money and sign them and put them on the road and MTV and in the studio with Max Norman. I was just like, wait, what? I mean, because I felt like this sounds like very derogatory to my own, defamation kind of thing to myself when I say, we were an okay band. It's an okay. It's pretty cool. It was fun. We were having a lot of fun. But as far as, it being the best rock band, you want to sign this shit? It was a little bit of that. And I mean, we were good and we were fun, but you really want to sink $1 million into this? I've been in this band 6 months. Watchtower, I was in 8 years. You see how that kind of,
Sure. Yeah. Well,
where's
that was time.
the brotherhood and the family and the sweat and the creating something totally new, as opposed to something that's just is kind of trendy? Because the toys were a co just like everybody else, just like Pantera, were a cover band that toured regionally,
Well, back then there
playing
was a lot of
rap, playing Rat and Poison and Led Zeppelin and classic rock and just whatever the club people wanted to hear. That's what you did, and you sprinkled in some originals here and there. That's so very common. But also those bands such as Pantera get extremely popular, and they eyes and ears start coming towards you. If you're good and you're well seasoned and you have a show, that's what it is. I'm not comparing my, toys to Pantera by any means. I'm generalizing by saying, okay, you're a touring, experienced club band that plays some covers, but you do write your own songs, and you may have an album out, you may not have. We didn't have shit because, like I said, I'd only been in the band 6 months. And then someone comes into town going, come here, kid, I want to give you a bunch of money and make you a star. I did not expect it. I wasn't looking for it. It's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah, and back then, obviously, there was a lot. You re referenced the term hair metal, which kind of overshadowed, some of the talents and and the actual songwriting of a lot of bands. It was all about the look. How much makeup can you put on? How puffy can your hair get? And how pretty are you? I remember the first time I saw the Motley Crue "Shout at the Devil" cover with all four members on it. I had no idea who they were. And I said, "Who are those
Wow.
chicks?"
Yeah.
But that was the time.
Yeah. Too Fast for Love. When that came out, I turned it on to the Watchtower guys and we learned Livewire.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And that first record is almost like punk rock. That had a lot of people cringed at that. Unless they were a metalhead, they didn't know what to think of that because it was fucking weird.
I loved it. It was
Yeah.
raw.
And then by the time, yeah, me too. And then by the Mick's riffs are angular. They're
Yeah.
ugly guitar riffs, and it was metal. It was fucking cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like Shout at the Devil was great, but it started to gloss over a little bit after that. It
Yeah.
wasn't as angular, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do for sure.
Yeah. It kind of got away from him. It blew up. And I get that too. It's like, uh-oh, here we go. We're gonna make a lot of new fans and piss off some old fans.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Jason, we're running out of time here.
Okay, well.
Is there anything you want to plug as far as upcoming tour? Anything like that?
Nope. I'm doing shows with Toys. I'm doing shows with Watchtower. I've been writing with David Austin, who's one of the founding members of Nasty Savage. I have some material I'm writing with Jack Frost and his project Seven Witches. We've got about four or five tunes so far. Same with David Austin. David Austin's calling his project DNA. Let's see. That's really about it right now.
Okay.
but there's going to be some stuff. There'll be some, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Fantastic.
People can go to my website, jasonmcmaster.net. DangerousToys.us, BrokenTeeth.com, Igniter_band.com. Let's see, who am I forgetting? Broken Teeth, Igniter, Dangerous Toys.
How about a Facebook page?
I'm easy to find.
Good enough.
I'm easy to find on the socials.
Well, Jason, this was fun. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, I
Right
hope you
here.
got all your questions in. I talk a lot.
Yeah, no, you're an impressive dude. Maybe we can reconnect at some point. And
No problem.
with that, enjoy the rest of your day. And I am Michael J. Rock. I'm a rock fan, enough said. Thank you.